And with us right now, radio voice of the Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Fine, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Before we talk about the Avalanche, I do have to talk about one of our favorite TV shows. We talked about it last week, Land of the Lost. Ron Harper played Uncle Jack, died the other day at 9.
Oh, he did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was the Marshall replacement, because I think the guy played Marshall on the show, the dad, held out for more money because Land of the Lost was such a huge show back in the day. He was able to hold out. But yeah, sadly, Ron Harper, Uncle Jack, died from
That is a bummer. I missed that. So it's always interesting when they replace somebody in a show and you're like, wait, or a movie or a series of movies, and you're like, wait, it's kind of the same person, but it's not.
Yeah,
like my experience is a little different, but
yeah, whether no, it's the two Darrens back in the '60s on Bewitched, or in this case, yes. Marshall gets replaced by Uncle Jack, looking for
right. They replace Kinch, you know, like 6-7 seasons of Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like you can't do that.
The two Beckys on Roseanne back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's always tough. If that's, you know, I know the franchise is riding on it, but no one wants to be on board if it's not the whole deal.
Absolutely correct. You're so right about that. It was just Land of the Lost was just never quite the same.
No, it wasn't. But rest in peace.
Yes, Uncle Jack, Ron Harper. Rest in peace.
It's just funny because when we were in New York City on our long road trip back in beginning of February. There are a couple steakhouses there in NYC called Uncle Jack's, and that's where Kiefer and Riker and Moshe and I all went to dinner that first night on the road. So we had a steak for Uncle Jack.
What a lovely tribute to Uncle Jack from Land of the Lost. How kind of you guys to do that.
It was sadly foreshadowing, I guess.
I guess. So as we circle it all back around talking about the Avalanche, the winning streak comes to an end last night against Montreal. The Avs see their 9-game winning streak come to an end, 2-1 loss. But the streak continues for Mac. A goal last night, and the home scoring streak continues, second longest in league history.
Yeah, the winning streak, cause of death officially, I'm looking here on the report, is boredom. And so, which is, I mean, that's going to happen. But the winning streak got bored to death by the Montreal Canadiens last night. But right, 43 seconds into the game, Nathan McKinn, he's the only player now in NHL history to have two point streaks of 19 games inside the same season. And that's, he tied his own record for the longest in the league this year. And now he's going for Paul Stastny's 20 in a row. So McKinnon continues to just be in and around Gretzky in a bunch of different conversations. You hope that Kucherov doesn't have another 4-point night tonight. The two of them are now tied for the points lead in the NHL, the 123. But that was the only good part about that entire hockey game last night, was Nathan McKinnon's 46th goal of the season.
Eustis Sandin, 24 saves, 26 shots last night. And I like what Andrew Cogliano said. He goes, like, we just didn't play well enough in front of him. Yeah. They also just couldn't find the back of the net against Montreal's goalie as well. He was really good last night. But Anninen, you know, overall played pretty well last night for Colorado.
Yeah, the first two, I'm sure he's not going to love. I mean, that's, the first shift after you score is an important one, and Cogliano's right. Coverage was not great. Mittelstadt sort of misses his check on Suzuki, but, anytime a goaltender gives up a 1-5 hole, it's never one that you want. The second one, he thinks he has, the puck is sort of sitting behind him. Armia picks it up, and I don't know, the Avs, had two defenders there. Not sure how that doesn't deflect out. It went in, but just more evidence of how it wasn't the Avs' night last night, and that's going to happen. And Jared Bednar is saying this morning, he goes, I'd like to learn lessons while we're winning instead of trying to learn lessons while we're losing. So, as always, that is the best approach from the head coach.
Avs radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. Getting back to Eustis Annan. The 24-year-old signing a 2-year contract at the Avalanche. It's got a cap hit of $837,500. He was set to be a restricted free agent after this season. He'll still be an RFA at the end of the deal, but the Avalanche showing some confidence in Annan in the way he's played with the 2-year contract.
Yeah, and he's earned it. And, I mean, $837,000 for 2 years for one of your two goalies is amazing. And every penny counts when it comes to the cap, when you're trying to pay Casey Mittelstadt, who's an RFA next year. John Walker has deserved a look. How much is he going to demand? But he fits this team like a glove. You have 8 unrestricted free agents currently on the roster, and so how do those get filled out? You have one more year left on Mikko Rantanen's current deal. So the planning process is always in motion for Chris McFarland, and to, again, basically pay both of your goaltenders what most teams pay for one, and with the case of the Avalanche, it's probably less than what a lot of teams pay for one, is a huge win. It's a team-friendly deal. He gets some stability. It's a one-way contract, so that's an indication that Annan is the number two goaltender for next season. And then with Alexander Georgiev being a UFA after next year, we'll see what happens for the number one spot after that. But it's a deserved contract for Eustace Annan, I think. The past couple months have been very good for him work-wise, results-wise. Technically, they've been good. So the Avs never just dish out contracts, just to dish out contracts. This one is very much deserved.
Avalanche radio voice Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. I want you to go back to the Pittsburgh game, because we've seen some incredible comebacks by the Avalanche, the down 3-0 in the second period at Vancouver. And then you had Sunday, where let's spot them 4. Let's go ahead and let's have some fun with this. Spot them 4 goals, score 5 unanswered, go on to win. Just what an incredible game the Avs had against Pittsburgh.
Well, and, you know, we talked about the next shift with a Suzuki goal last night. The Avalanche did that to Pittsburgh because Sean Walker scores 25 seconds after it's 4-0 to make it 4-1, and then Trenin gets a deflection to make it 4-2, and then you could kind of tell that Pittsburgh knew what was coming their way. And the Avalanche smelled blood a little bit, but I can understand from a team perspective the energy of that game. And then going into this game versus the Montreal Canadiens, which again was just, you know, if you missed it, I'm not sure that you missed it. If you get my point.
Right, exactly.
It was kind of usually Tuesday nights are different, but I'm not much of a full moon guy, but it had that sort of feeling last night. So to go from the energy of Sunday, one of the greatest comeback victories, frankly, in franchise history, only the third time I think it's been a 4-goal comeback, to that type of game yesterday, I can understand the lack of energy and the frustration, because we were all feeling on top of the world on Sunday, because that was as good as it gets. And that's more of what the Avalanche are. And even Cogliano said yesterday, he said, you know, there are some days where we cannot score our problems. Now, defensively, I don't think they had a ton of problems versus the Montreal Canadiens, but they just didn't get the bounces on the other end of the ice. But I think resiliency is one of the key cogs in the wheel for this Colorado Avalanche team, and it will come into play many times throughout the rest of the regular season and definitely into the playoffs. So I think that last night versus Montreal is more the exception, and the fight and the energy and the resilience that we saw Sunday and frankly 25 times this season is more of what the Avalanche are all about in their quest for the Cup.
Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. Any update on Nikolai Kovalenko, player out of the KHL, and where that sits right now?
He's been loaned to the Colorado Eagles, and he suffered that injury literally in the last 2 minutes of his last playoff game in the KHL, an unnecessary hit at center ice. So he's rehabbing with the Eagles at the AHL level. So that's he's in and around the Mile High City. He posted the other day that he was taking in the Nuggets game. So he's here and he's doing work to try and play with the Eagles, and we'll see what needs to happen. I mean, the Avalanche don't need him in the lineup. He's a possibility. And but he's around and taking steps that if that is a path that the Avalanche want to take here in the coming weeks, they can do so. But as of right now, officially loaned to the Colorado Eagles for rehab purposes.
All right, Avalanche radio voice Connor McGahee with us. I have to ask you, Connor, since you also do PA for the Broncos, the new uniforms are supposed to come out before the 25th. When you're up there doing PA for the Broncos this season, Greg Penner says they're going to have elements of Colorado. What do you think we'll see from the Broncos uniforms, Connor McGahee, that will be elements of Colorado?
I understand that this is a rhetorical question, that you know the answer. And I have a feeling that it's going to have elements of a mountain in it. I don't know why. I just think that that is the only conclusion that I can arrive to given that clue. I know that a lot of people just want maybe a clean modern take on the old uniforms, and I know people go back and forth. Well, you know, the Broncos got blown out in three Super Bowls in the old ones, and then one with the new horse. But I think that fans want a little bit of nostalgia with when it comes to the Broncos uniforms. I'm not sure they're going to get it. So I don't know what they're going to be, but if given that clue, I would say that some sort of mountain feature would be the conclusion that I would arrive at.
Okay, I know they're going to keep the Cyber Bronco. I still would like to see the original snorting, you know, Bronco.
Yeah, I think that's something we can all agree on.
But
for the most part.
But I think if he wants elements of Colorado, have Thunder, the horse in the D, the Broncos mascot, have it drawn by Parker and Stone of South Park. Have it be a South Park looking Thunder. I think that the elements of Colorado, right? Correct?
Oh boy. Oh yeah, that would go over really well. That would go over great. People would love that.
Am I the only one that would want that? I think I might be very much in the minority.
You're literally on Davis Island right now.
It's a place
in a Subaru.
Exactly, in a Subaru. Yes, I'm very much in my own island most of the time when it comes to certain ideas that I come up with.
But you know what? That's nice and peace and quiet. I've killed to be on my own island sometimes.
He's gonna have a volleyball. Yeah, you know, that's all you really need. Just a volleyball to talk to you the whole time.
That's right. Take good care of Wilson.
Exactly, Wilson. Hey, Connor, appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.
You bet, fellas. Have a great day.
All right, take care. Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, does not like my...